All right. Well, you guys, we are in for an amazing treat having Jamie back. We're so thankful, Jamie, that you swung through on his way to Dallas back and just decided to come back and hang with us. So we're super blessed to have him. Matt, if you guys will rise with me and let's honor and thank Jamie as he comes. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, I'll grab this. Is there a microphone up there?
Are you guys stretch out your hand? Let's pray for Jamie really quick. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for who he is, the man that Jamie is. God, I just thank you for who he is as a man, Father. Someone who's gone after your heart, Lord, and after your word. I just thank you just for how he has stewarded, Lord, the things that you've given him so well. And I thank you, Father, that he himself is a gift to us. But I thank you for the gifts, the talents, the wisdom that you've put inside of him, Lord, just his hunger for the word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you just now empower him to release whatever it is that you are wanting to deposit here for us. But I ask, God, that you would bless it back to him 100-fold, to him and to his family, his precious children, God, for the legacy and generations that he is touching with all of us around, as well as this, especially his own family, Father. I ask that you surround them, keep them safe, Lord, and to make them dangerous, God. Make them dangerous for the kingdom. So we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for him. Thank you, God. We receive him, Lord. We receive him as a man, as a prophet, as a teacher, as a pastor. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
That turns it on and off.
Okay, good morning. How you guys doing? Oh, man, it's so good to be here with you. I'm always excited to get back to Texas. Texas, you know, Texas is a place I believe is in my destiny. I do. I feel a love for Texas. In fact, I felt like a word this morning for Texas that all the eyes of the nation would be on Texas in this season. And there's something very important in the role of the USA to play, and you're a part of that. And it's not just to be a Texan, but, you know, it's the sons and daughters of God in this region. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about that this morning, and I believe that we have an amazing part to play in the history that God is making in this hour. We have an amazing part to play in the destiny and the purposes of God, and you are right in the middle of the best place right now just to get inspired and your faith activated to walk in all that God has for you. God's got great things for you in this season. How many know that? He has great things for you in this season. And some of you guys you might feel like you're in the middle of a difficult situation that seems impossible. You're up against a wall that seems impenetrable. You cannot go past it. But I want to tell you and prophesy to you this morning that God has a way of getting you past those things and getting you into your destiny, getting you into your purpose. And it can happen in the blink of an eye. It really can. And I feel like to prophesy to you this morning that there's no more delay. There is no more delay. God wants to end delay in your life and bring an end to the delay that has been against you. Time is for you, not against you. God has set up the times and seasons for your benefit. And that when we understand this, we're going to begin to redeem the time. You know, some of our time has been unsaved. And he says, redeem the time because the days are evil. How do you get the day from becoming, from being evil to becoming good? You have to redeem it. And so there's a redemption of time in your life. And I believe God wants to put the best days ahead of you. And it begins today. Can we agree on that? It begins today, okay? This is going to be awesome, okay? Because I really feel like there's a word I have for you this morning that's going to shift your mindset on some things that God is doing in your life and really help you jumpstart into the things and the purposes of God. The kingdom of God is always advancing. We are seeing this across the nations. The kingdom of God is advancing. and it's expanding. It is expanding, and it's going. It's the expansion rate of the kingdom of God is like the speed of light. You can't. It's hard to measure because it is happening so fast, and yet we are on the cutting edge of what it is that God is doing right now. And so I want to assure you, you're right in the middle. You know, some people feel like, you know, they got FOMO, fear of missing out, like some God's moving somewhere else, but God is moving here. And I want you to really take heart about that because God is moving here, and He's moving in your life, and I want you to have eyes to see where He is moving. Okay, I'm gonna read something out of Scripture this morning. You guys like the Bible down here in Texas? All right, good. Okay, I'm gonna be all over the place. And the text this morning I have starts off in Romans 8:18. We have so much to be thankful for. We are in a good season, but you know there are sufferings. There are sufferings in this present time. We cannot be ignorant about that. You know, your best life now looks also like you're going to embrace suffering. You know, it doesn't mean it's without suffering. Suffering is part of the ingredients that God is preparing and presenting because there's a bigger story at play. And here's what's going on. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. There is a glory that God wants to reveal to you. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we'll also be revealed with Him in glory. Say glory. Now, I want to talk to you about glory this morning and how to get the glory of God on your life. There is a measure of glory that God has given us, and yet we're all called to a place of glory that Jesus had with the Father. And He says this in John 17 when He prays. He says, the same glory that I had with you in the beginning, I have given to them. We have been given the same glory from Jesus that He had with the Father before time began. We have been given the same glory that Jesus had with the Father before time began. That means you have it right now. You have access to it right now. You have a path to it right now. And God wants to awaken His glory in your life because there is something that is going to be revealed when you touch the glory of God. And what we have, we may not recognize what the glory of God is, and we have to begin to understand what is the glory. What is the glory? And, you know, I've been personally on this journey of just trying to find the glory of God for like the last 10, 15 years. I'm like, man, what is the glory? Where is it? Is it in heaven? Is it in Africa? You know, like, where is the glory? I want to find the glory. And yet, I found it. I found it in Scripture. It was hidden in a mystery. Moses says this, show me your glory. He prays, show me your glory. And the Father says, you cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live. Do you hear this? He says, show me your glory. And He goes, you can't see my face. So the glory of God is the face of the Father. And I'm after an encounter with the face of the Father. I want to have an encounter because I want to be a son. I am a son, and my desire is to walk like a son. Now, if you haven't been around this message of sonship, identity, this is a big deal. Because how many know right now we are in a time where identity thieves are everywhere? I think it was 2 years ago I had one credit card of mine hijacked like 3 or 4 times that year. It was crazy. I mean, I was like, how are they getting this, you know, different cards from the same company over and over and over? And so they're issuing identity theft insurance to me and giving it to, you know, and now you can go and actually purchase identity theft insurance along with your housing insurance, along with your car insurance. You can get identity theft insurance because it's become such a phenomenon that you can insure yourself against the liability of identity theft. And yet so many people in the church are walking around with spiritual identity theft. They don't even know that the enemy has pickpocketed them, stolen their identity, kept them from knowing who they are. And there's something interesting going on because, you know, for a long time, I mean, I thought this was the issue in the church, that hidden sin was the problem in the church. Hidden sin. But I've come to realize hidden sin is not the problem in the church. It's hidden righteousness. Your righteousness, when it's revealed, something begins to happen. And this was what happened with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. His righteousness was revealed. The glory of God was revealed, and he was transfigured before them, and they saw him in his fullness. They saw him in the glory. So here, this is what all creation is waiting for. We have suffering, but the suffering, and I want to tell you this, don't just take suffering like it's just, you know, just it fine, you know, just give it to me. You need to cash in on that suffering. Come on. Some people have, you know, I mean, like, I've been in churches where, like, testimony time is like, praise God, devil cracked my windshield this week, but praise God. I can stick my head out the window, you know. Praise God, the dishwasher broke this week, but praise God, I got these two hands, I can wash. No! I need a dishwasher. I want a windshield. I want to, you know, like, don't let the devil steal your lunch. If the devil is your biggest testimony, listen, you got problems, okay? We got to talk about it. Okay? And so don't just take suffering just as a, you know, look, it's, you got to cash in on it. You can't just take it in vain. You have to take it, and you have to begin to present it to the Father and say, "There's glory that is to be revealed out of this. You're going to make a message out of my mess. You're going to give me a testimony out of my test. You're going to give me something that is going to transform me and transform the world around me through this process of suffering that I'm going through, God, and there's an end to this. And I want to prophesy this to you. There's an end to your suffering. It's not forever. It lasts for a moment. But the joy of Jesus, right, it lasts a lifetime. We can have something, I believe, that is beyond the suffering we're in, and it's the glory. It's the glory of God. And you know, I've been kind of afraid of talking about this subject, not out of a spirit of fear, but just like, you know, I don't want to sound like that preacher, you know, glory, you know, like I've heard that language all throughout, you know, people like, glory, there's the glory. I'm like, what is that? What is the glory? You know, and then somebody, you know, I love watching YouTube videos. Anybody a big YouTube, you know, surfer? I love watching old, you know, Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth, all that. It's like, oh, the glory. I love it. I am for all of that, okay? And people doing, like, you know, laps around the building and all that stuff. Man, I am not offended if you want to get up and do a lap. I will cheer you on. I will celebrate you. And I will stand in one place while you do that. But the glory of God, and here's, you know, we have two different substances that have been given to us. We have the anointing and we have the glory. We have the anointing and we have the glory. The anointing, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The anointing is the Christ aspect. Jesus is called the Christ not because that's his last name. Jesus is called the Christ because that is the anointing that is upon him. He is the anointed one. And one of the things about the last days that we are all aware of, before the last day comes, there's going to be an antichrist, right? And even more so, let's just put it like this, in a prophetic picture, there's going to be an antichrist movement. There's going to be an antichrist people. And what does this mean? It's not anti-Jesus. Now, you have to think about this. This is not anti-Jesus. This is antichrist. Because everybody likes Jesus, but as soon as you start talking about him as he is the Christ, that's when you begin to see the distinguishing. It's the antichrist, and if we could put it in real simple, basic understanding of language, the anti-anointed one. The enemy is against the anointing. There's an anti-anointing that comes, and it's moving. We could see it in our nation. We could see it in the nations of the earth. Where you know, why do the nations rage against the Lord and his Christ? It's the anointing that the enemy cannot stand, because the anointing does what? It breaks the yoke. It breaks the back of the enemy off of you. When you're walking around carrying a heavy yoke, the anointing, when it comes upon you, it breaks the yoke. And when we think about anointing, we think about oil, but when it says it breaks the yoke, it's actually that yoke that an oxen carries into plowing the field. And the anointing, it actually does something to that oxen. The another word for anointing is fatness. Fatness. Oil and fatness are synonymous. And so when the anointing comes upon that oxen, he grows fat, and his neck is so full of meat and strength and muscle that it breaks the yoke. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like one of those guys at the gym. You know, like you see those guys, they got no neck. You're like, what? Where's your neck? You know, you are going to have no neck in this season, because you're going to be so thick with the glory of God, and it's going to, no yoke is going to fit around you. Come on, are you hearing me? So he says this. This is the anointing and the glory of the anointing. The anointing, if we could think about it like this, is God concentrate. God concentrate. God has put all of his goodness in you in a concentrated form. It's called the anointing. I want you to, you know, I imagine you have like honey or oil. I just want you to rub it on your chest right now, like Vicks Vapor Rub. You know, like this. Just, that's, I want you to imagine with me right now that you are rubbing the anointing on you. It's God concentrate. You're like, whew, this stuff can make me fly. If I get it on me and I get it around me, I get free. I'm happy. I'm myself. I'm anointed. I have favor. I've got friends. No demon likes me. Hallelujah. It's the anointing. Okay? It's God concentrate. But then he says, this mystery, Colossians 1:27, has been hidden for ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointing in you, Christ in you, the anointed one in you, which is the hope of glory. There's an expansion that happens as we embrace the anointing. And it goes from being in a concentrated version to a glorious, expanded version called the glory. That's where it gets from just being inside of you to being around you. You ever been around someone that just has favor? Like they get, I mean, when they're walking in places, they get upgrades, you know, some they like people, you know, you go to Chick-fil-A with them and they're like ice cream, extra bonus ice creams. You know, these people are blessed. They're highly favored, right? And you feel like, man, this person has something about them. They walk into the room, and it's not they're a manipulator or a salesy person. I've been around those people. I they just, there's just a favor that follows them. People want to know their number. They want to talk to them. They're like, what? Who are you? What is it? And people, there's something contagious about them and magnetic. That's the glory of God on them. They've tapped into a realm of the glory of God, hence the glory of God's favor. And they know how to manifest it, steward it, and walk in it. This is what God has called you to. And here's what all of Texas is waiting for. I want to show you this. Texas is in the Bible. Okay. It says in verse 19, for the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. God's sons to be revealed. The revelation of who you are in Him. It's what creation is waiting for. It's the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, when we talk about being a son is both male and female. Being a son is both male and female. Okay? And this is a, you know, just like me, I'm a man, but I read Song of Solomon like a bride. Right? I got to read Song of Solomon. I'm a man. I mean, I'm like, I'm a dude. You know, I got my son. I got a 9-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy. My 9-year-old daughter, she is just so princess. I love her. I delight in her, and she is so delicate. She is a princess, and everything is just, you know, nails and beauty and femininity and just everything that I adore in her. And she's just so she's an actress, and she's so loving and kind and gentle. She loves animals. She's like a quintessential woman, right? She's growing, and she's amazing. She knows what I'm thinking when I'm not even talking. It's like, wow. Okay. And she'll get up, have a dream, and she has a dream. Our kids are dreamers. And she has a dream, and she'll say, my dream, I had a dream. You know, Jesus was talking, and it's just beautiful, and there was doggies and puppies there. And, you know, it's like all these wonderful, nice things. So my son, he has bad dreams. He has these, you know, nightmares and stuff. And so he started having me pray this specific prayer every night. Pray, I have good dreams. I need good dreams, Dad. Jesus, give me good dreams. So he's 5 and he's still caveman in his language. And so good dreams. I need good dreams. And so I pray for him. And if I miss it, if I don't pray for it, he'll wake up from sleep and go, pray, Dad, Jesus, dreams. And so I pray for him. I pray for good dreams. I pray. And so he wakes up one morning and he goes, I had a good dream, Dad. I said, what was it? And I'm expecting, you know, like Jesus visited him. He was riding on the clouds with rainbows. And he says, there was a bad guy. I broke his legs. I'm like, yes. Yes, you did. That's my boy. That's our, you know, so that I'm a guy. I'm like, but I read Song of Solomon, and I'm like, kiss me with the kisses of your love. Oh, you're so handsome. I feel this love in this place in my heart that has never been touched or been awakened. When I read it, I'm like, oh. And so there's two different aspects. It's like king and priest. It's like you're a son and you're a bride. There's this duality, yet they work together in tandem. Do you hear me? Okay. And so I'm reading this not for men, but for the sons, the male, the female, the all of creation is waiting for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious freedom of what? Of God's children. Creation was subjected to bondage that it could be freed again back into the glorious hands of God's kids. God has entrusted all of creation to you and I. God has entrusted. Now, I'm fascinated with this one concept in this season. Okay, I want to see Jesus. Anybody want to see Jesus? I want to see Jesus, okay? I want to see Jesus. And, you know, I want to see the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want to see the Father. And so I've been really focused in on in my life in Genesis. Genesis is a book I'm always back to Genesis. And the first three chapters are like everything to me. I've researched them. I read them. I look at them. I dissect them. I want to know what were we made for? What's going on here? You know. And so God does something in Genesis 1:26, and it's the first mention of us. He says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every creeping crawl, you know, all the creatures." He says, let us make man. And we know in Genesis 2, when he said man, it's male and female. He made them both. God made man in his image, male and female. He made them both. But he says, let us make man. And what was their number one purpose? No. But you get a gold star for trying. That was amazing. See, that was what I thought. I thought dominion, right? But you can't have dominion unless you first know how to be in the image. To bear his resemblance. To walk as the image of the... See, people are chasing. That's the difference between grace and performance, right? Grace is bearing the image of the Father, walking as Jesus walked, and then you see dominion. Performance is chasing after something with your own strength, not the image of the Father. Just like, you know, it's fallen from glory. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we're striving, see, you know, that's why people are so, you know, when we look at society today, everybody wants a piece of the pie because it's actually hardwired into them. They want a piece of the pie because God has put inside of them this craving for dominion. It's not an evil thing. He's put inside of each and every one of us, I want to expand my territory. I want land that's in my name. I want buildings and family in my name. I want things. I want to see my generations after me blessed. This has been what has been hardwired into us. So when we don't walk in the image of the Father, corruption sets in. And people try to do those things backwards. Now here's what is fascinating to me. Jesus, it says, is the express image of the Father. He is the brightness of the radiance of his glory. If you want to see the glory, look at Jesus. Because he is the brightness of his glory. Hebrews 1:3 tells us this. He is the exact image of the Father. The exact. And so what we have that word again, image. 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 And he says, he is the image of the Father. When they said, show us the Father, Jesus says, have you not been with me this whole time? Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, look, guys, you see me? I'm the image of the Father. Now, here's one thing that's super fascinating to me. There was this express command, and it's, does anybody know the first two commandments? The first two in the set of 10. Okay? If you could rattle them off. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nope, not love your neighbors yourself. That's what's interesting. Those are the royal commandments that Jesus said. But in the order of the 10 commandments, that you are not to make, the second one is any graven image. an image. You are not, that word image comes up again. And in Exodus 20, he says, hey, don't make any graven image, whether on the earth or any image in heaven. So they weren't even allowed to make any image of Yahweh. This is what they got in trouble for when they came out of Egypt, and there Moses is getting the law on the mountain, and he comes down and he's like, whoa, what's this sound? I hear the radio playing or something, you know? And they're all, oh, they got this image that they set up. They were worshiping this image. The second commandment, he says, don't make an image, a graven image, whether it's from the image of something in heaven or something on earth, because you are the image of Yahweh. You already have his image. And when you look to your right and to your left, you don't just see your neighbor, you see Yahweh. Come on, are you hearing me? You see the Father in someone. And so Jesus is like, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, his number one thing was to be a representation of the Father. A representation of the Father. Now, what are we talking about? Graven images, idols. Idols, idolatry is a real thing today. We don't realize it, but we got a lot, you know, there's idols in every, you know, it's like, who do you go to first? You know, I'm tempted with technology to run to technology before I go to the Father, right? I'm like, should I pray the Holy Spirit or search it on Google? I'm being real because there was a time in my life where, like, when Google was not even an option, Siri's not an option. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need answers. I need direction because I'm lost again, right? No GPS. This is pre-GPS where you're like, Lord, you lead me and guide me. Anybody relate to that, right? I'm prophetic, which means I'm also directionally challenged. Okay? And that's a clue if you're prophetic, if you get lost, even with GPS. That's actually a symptom. It's like you have no direction unless the Lord leads you. Okay? You know, there's something about this that, like, who's the first person you seek to consult with that you don't have another thing, an image or idol or something set up? Because an idol was not just something that they bowed down to and were like, man, it's so beautiful. Look at it's gold and it's silver or even wood. Like that was not how they did this. They actually would set out an idol in hopes that the manifestation of the essence of that God would come upon that idol so that idol would have a skeleton structure, a foundation to set upon, that God would set upon that and begin to speak to the people. It makes me think about us, that when God comes upon you, he wraps himself around you. You become his voice. Come on, are you hearing me? You become his voice because you are bearing the image of the Father. You're walking in the image of Jesus. Now, where does this image begin? I believe one of the places that we can begin to understand the image of Jesus is in our imagination. Imagination, image. It's the place where the image of who you are in your own understanding is formed. First in your imagination. And our imagination is imprinted with loads of different information. It's some of it good, some of it bad. You know, when your imagination, you're a kid, and you're like, man, I want to be a helicopter pilot. I want, you know, and like you're telling your parents, and your parents are like, you need to get a job, Johnny. You know, like, geez, quit dreaming. Right? And they're like, yeah, okay, right. You want to do that? But what happens when you get set free in the kingdom of God? I believe your imagination comes back. The spirit of prophecy is directly linked to imagination. When your imagination gets turned back on, guess what happens? You start seeing the image of the Father in you. You realize your potential, your possibility. Come on. We're in an environment where anything is possible, especially with the prophetic. We could call somebody out in this room right now and be like, you're the next president of the United States. And everybody's like, amen, because anything is possible here. We just believe because our imagination, we could see it, right? And that may seem preposterous to the world, but to us, it's called faith. It's faith. Faith directly connects with your imagination and believes in the possibilities of God. What is possible? Come on. How are you going to walk as a son? Now, here's one thing I want you. I'm going to give you two takeaways today, okay? I'm going to give you two takeaways, and we're going to prophesy. Two takeaways. Number one, I want you to get your imagination activated again. I want you to rehearse moments that when you walk into places, when you walk into your family, when you wake up in the morning, this is how it's going to be. You rehearse in your imagination how you're going to carry the image of the Father. You're going to go, I'm going to go into that board meeting, and I'm going to say this. The Father's going to, I feel the, you imagine the angels around you. You imagine the presence of God on you. You imagine the glowing light that's coming off of you. The people are staring at you, you know. The presence of God coming off of you. I remember in my imagination, I was in Kuwait at a meeting, and I'm sitting down in the front row. They're about to call me up, worship setting, and in my imagination, I go. I sit up in my imagination, and I walk out. I'm just sitting down in my real body right here, but my imagination, I walk over to the pastor and his wife, and I look at her, and I say, there's something wrong with your feet. God's healing you. And so they hand me the microphone in real life. And I see in my imagination this thing, and I do exactly as I see in my imagination. Now, when I do this, I get up, I say, boom, there's something wrong with your feet. All of a sudden, something opened up in the supernatural realm. And it was like the veil was pulled back, and I knew I had 30 seconds of seeing in the spirit, and I could tell whatever disease, illness, sickness in anyone's body, and I looked around, I could see specifically who they were, and I could walk around, and I was like, you have a back problem. You're getting up, your knees, right knees getting, and I got as many as I could out in 30 seconds because I knew I had a 30-second opportunity and this thing was going to close. And it began in my imagination. But what happened is Christ in me, the hope of glory, it was expanded around me. It felt like what looks like when Frodo puts the ring on and just, you know. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to begin with your imagination. You hearing me? You're going to rehearse moments. You're going to be like, okay, here's how my kid is going to get saved. Here's how my business is going to expand. God, I thank you that you are working together with me in my imagination, that I can set my mind on things above, and I'm going to rehearse it in me. I'm going to think about, oh God, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, it doesn't say as a man thinks in his mind. It says in his heart. So you have to think with your heart, not with your mind. What does your mind say? That's impossible. That's unreasonable. That's crazy. You can't think like that. But when you think with your heart, anything is possible. Come on, are you hearing me? Yes. Number two thing, and this is what's interesting about an idol. One of the things that in the book of Revelation, it says about, there's two churches specifically mentioned in the book of Revelation. One, it says, I know you, you know, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and then the church of Pergamos, he says this specifically to them, that you guys have among you people who teach you how to bring food and make it sacrifice to an idol. food sacrifice to an idol. Now, one of the ways that they would summon an idol, you have an idol and summon the essence of that idol, is bringing food. I've seen this down in Brazil. I've seen this in other countries. You know, walking around and you see little food outside the door. You're like, what is that food doing outside the door? And it's in a nice, it's because they're hoping that that idol that they worship, that God that they worship, will show up and bless them. It is food sacrificed to an idol. And so here's something so fascinating to me, and I've been doing this lately, and it's been a game changer for me. Are you hearing me? See, to worship an idol, you bring food sacrifice to an idol. And that, for some reason, summons it. But what Jesus did was the exact opposite. He says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. He says, I don't want you to bring food as if I'm an idol. I'll bring the bread. I'll bring the drink. He says, for my body is true food. My blood is true drink. He says, look, when you take this, do this in remembrance of me. And what happens is the life of Christ lives in us when we take communion. Just about every day for the last 15 days or so, it's just been a fairly new thing, but I've been back at communion again. I've been back at communion again. You know, there's something sacred about that. Because I'm going, and I'm not just going, God, I have certain things that I want it to do for me. And what the way that you awaken the essence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you is through communion. It's what has been ripped off in idolatry when they take food, sacrifice to an idol. Jesus says, I provide the bread. I provide the cup. I bring the meal. And if you eat this and do this in remembrance of me, he says, something's going to happen. Something transpires and you begin to awaken the sonship factor in your life. We could go on and on about this, but I believe that some of us in this room, the fast that you've been called to is the table of the Lord. And when I take communion, I'm not talking about I do a quick flyby communion. I'm talking about 30 minutes. I sit down. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to meditate on you. Sometimes an hour, sometimes long. I'm going to meditate on you. I do this in remembrance of you. And let all the things that the promises, the blessings, the hope, the glory of your goodness rest in me and let it rest upon me as I take of your body, as I partake of your blood, as I do this, knowing that you've washed me with the blood, you've cleansed me with the blood, and your body now takes up residence within me. Some argue about that. Well, is it the body? Is it the really truly the body, or is it just a representation? I think we missed the point. We missed the point that in taking of it, it's a connect point to the cross. Connect point to the cross. How many feel like they're compelled to do this by the love of God right now? Just I want to see, because I believe there's some transformation. One of the things that we're going to be doing in like a month and a half, we're going to be doing, I believe we can do this, the largest online communion service in the world. We're going to do one giant communion service online. And I want to see you a part of that. And I've been talking with my friends and getting people on board with me about this, because I believe that when we do this, healing takes place. Imagine how many people online, if we had 1 million people online at once taking communion. Whoa, what is going to happen when we do that? Something, healings are going to break out. People, I believe testimonies are going to come out of the woodwork, because we're going to start to see people get healed up of things that have been plaguing them for years. And I've been in a small batch of people right now where just about every day, every other day, we get together online and we take communion together. and people in Alaska and people in California and people in Nashville. We're just all over gathered together online, and we take communion and we encourage one another in the love of God. Come on, I want to see you get in on this. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you, if you have a phone in your hand, just go to jamiegalloway.com and find some place. You can write it down and do it later. But it could be now. It doesn't matter. Just write it down. Do it for me because I want you to see this. I want you to be a part of this. Sign up for our newsletter there because that's going to go out. That information is going to go out. And we're going to do an online communion service that I believe is going to bring transformation to the nations. Transformation to the nations. We're coming up on Easter. I feel like there's resurrection power going to be released as we do this. And so get in on this. And gather friends, gather people at your house. We're going to do a big broadcast of this online. It'll be live and live feed all over the world. We'll have people in Singapore. We'll have people in Australia. And I believe this is going to be just such an amazing moment for the body of Christ. Come on. Come on. Isn't this good? So up until that point, I just want you to make a commitment to take communion. If it's every day, if it's every other, just do it. Just do it. I have a friend right now, he does it twice a day. He's been doing it twice a day, and ever since he's been doing it, he's been seeing trans. He goes, man, I am awakened just to what God is doing in my life. It's crazy. Has this been so hidden from us? Hidden from us. And there's some parts of the church where they practice this in a very sacred thing. The sacred act is point of contact with the cross. They practice it over and over, and they hold it so valuable that they can only give it to certain people within that community of faith. But the table is open. Yes, thank you. The table is open. And he says, look, come. Come on, come on. Come on, are you hearing me? I'm going to prophesy to you that God is about to pour his glory out on you in a way like never before. His presence is coming upon you. You're going to begin to get a download. And I feel like this house, if there's something about this house and the things that you guys are preparing yourself for in this next season, the amount of people that are coming in here, the influx of people that are coming in here, there's expansion happening in this house. I see expansion happening. God's about to expand this house, and you're going to begin to see growth, and I see growth. And there's something about a conference like this, certain signature conference that the Lord has called this house to, that is going to be a signature event year after year to gather people from the nations together to seek the face of Jesus. Come on. Isn't that good? Lord, we thank you for your goodness in this house and what you're doing. Even right now, Jay, he's in India. He's back here, but we're going to pray for this family. God, that the power of God would rest upon them. The presence of Jesus would rest upon them. Thank you, Lord. I prophesy, Jay, that you're going to walk in miracles while you're over there. There is a transference. There's an impartation coming upon you. And supernatural signs and wonders are going to be accomplished through you for the purposes of God in this hour. There's something gripping your heart right now, Jay, and I just see it. I see tears flowing from your eyes, and I see people that you've seen in your spirit for a long time, but now you're seeing in the natural, and that the Lord is going to give you those people as an inheritance. Lord, open up the wells of revival in this house in Texas. Thank you, Father. Lord, that Texas would be a contagious element of the goodness of God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Contagious for the rest of the states and the world, Lord. Let it come, Father. Let it come. Let it come, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Let it come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, Jesus. Now, this gentleman right here, I don't know, is your name Jay, by the way, too, as well? Yeah. What's your name? Scott, way off. That's okay. But I just saw, I saw something of, is possibly a pairing and something with what Jay is doing right now. And there's a possible pairing and a complementary role that you'll play to that. And that God is going to begin to place a mantle. And it's a mantle of authority upon you. It's a mantle of a grace. And it's a grace to actually steward resources and steward the treasury and steward the goodness of God in the house of God. I bless you. I bless your hands. And that the things that God has even formed together through you, there's some things that have been messy, but you've walked through those things, and it's been difficult and trying, but you've walked through those trials, and you've gotten to the end of that trial. I just want to tell you, it's an end to the trial, and it's the beginning of the victory. You are about to see the victory, and things that have been almost confusing in an area in your life and trying to work, what does this mean? Why is this going this way? And yet the Lord is working all things together for the good. And he's preparing something, and you will see the promises of God. You're going to see what it is that you've been declaring. Wow. There's a healing flow that even happened in your family. And I believe it happened, whether it's your mother or your grandmother, but there's a healing flow that happened in your family, and you're walking in that same healing flow, and God has brought healing to them, and he's going to bring healing to others through you and your family. And so, Lord, I bless that. I bless Scott's ears, Lord, that he could hear your voice, that he could hear what it is that you're saying, what you're speaking right now to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. And what's your name with Scott there? Melissa. Lord, I just bless Melissa. I bless her. I bless the hand, the hand of God upon her. There's something, it's like this next generation. I see this next generation in your hand to mold their minds and mold the creativity of the next generation, and you're going to begin to see God is about to give you even some things regarding curriculum and some things regarding just a network of people that you could begin to network them together for the shaping of the minds of this next generation for God's goodness and God's glory. And so I bless that. And I feel like there's also something that the promises of God, I'm reminded of grapes, and the grapes are a symbol of the promises of God. When they went into the land, spied out the land, and they brought back the grapes. The grapes are huge. And I feel like this is a time in your life where you're going to see the size of the promise. And it's time to be overwhelmed with the goodness of God, the size of the promise that he's put on your life, and you've scouted out the land, and there's been places that you've been, and you've seen what it is that God has been doing there, and now's the time to bring it back home. Now's the time to bring it back home. And so I don't know what this means, but I feel like you're going to see some open doors in different states around the U.S., and I see Nebraska. I see Iowa. I see some areas that God's going to begin to open up doors with different states around the U.S. for your voice to be heard and for this network to be formed and for people to come together in sort of like a co-op. And so I bless that in your life, and I bless what God has prepared for you. So in Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen. Isn't that good? Hey, what's your name, bud? Yeah. Tate? Cade? All right, stand up, Cade. Lord, I just bless him. I bless the purposes of God on Cade. I thank you, Lord, for his heart after you. He's completely sold out to you, Lord. Hey, I see God preparing. You have an entrepreneurial spirit in you, and you have things that God has put in you to as businesses and things to put together for people but the Lord is training you in this, and He's you're going to see a commissioning begin to form in order for you to be in this call, and it's the part of this commissioning is a mentorship that you're going to be stepping into. And so I bless that, man. As you serve others, God's going to see what you've been faithful with another man, He'll give to you. And so you'll start to see even how to multiply things. It's a time to be trained to multiply things, and things that have been in your heart to see multiplied, God is going to begin to multiply things, and you're going to begin to see a stewardship and a multiplication factor as a concept emerge from you. And it will be something that you could apply in any situation and begin to see things scaled and multiplied. So, Kate, I bless that in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Now, Kate, I just saw a quick vision. I don't know if you, it was almost like there was an altar call. You came forward, I can't tell if it was with the Billy Graham Foundation or it wasn't Billy Graham. It was like an environment like that, similar? Somewhat? Okay. But I just see you come forward it's like you're kneeling, you're like giving it all to Jesus. And I feel like God's going to begin to pour out on you what you've given up. And the thing that you gave up, the thing that you said yes and you gave it to Him, He's going to give it back to you. He's going to give it back 100-fold. And so, man, bless that in your life in Jesus' name. Come on. Whew. And this guy right here, second row toward, yeah, what? Yeah. Stand up. Who's that with you? Mom, stand up as well. Man, there's something to get. There's something of a generational blessing that God wants to release to you guys. You know, I think some things have been held up, and some things have been tied up, and God's going to begin to unloose those things that have been tied up. There's been an injustice in regard to what has been kept back from you, held back from you. And almost like things have been fought over, and I can't tell if it's sibling rivalry or extended family rivalry issues, but they're fighting over what the inheritance was. And God wants to begin to release that to you right now, and you're going to begin to start to see that inheritance be given over to you and it's the restoration of abundance, wealth, and life in you guys. And so I bless you guys in this time to get back what was taken from you, to see what was held up from you. And I feel like the legal matters that you guys have faced over this battle, it's like God's going to pay off those legal battles. God's going to pay off those legal fees. You're going to start to see the hand of God come and prepare the thing, even in the acquisition, and something with acquisition and business acquisition. You're going to start to see those things paid off by God's goodness. And so I bless that in you both in Jesus' name. Now, someone, I think, had a heart attack. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, and you have the same thing too? Okay, Father, right now, just release healing to them generationally. Healing, Lord, let it come in Jesus' name. Let your spirit rest upon them to restore their bodies back to wholeness, back to healing. I thank you for that right now, Father. I thank you for that right now, Lord. And I just feel like also God's going to bless the fruit of your words. And it's time to speak up. It's time to say something, you know. It's time to make a declaration and not be, you know, in the shadows about things. And what's your name, bud? Nico? I feel like also, Nico, there's ideas and inventions that you have, and some things in regard to almost technology, and there's certain things that God wants to begin to open up for you, and in engineering even, and so something that He wants to begin to give to you as ideas and concepts in this time, and it's going to help restore abundance to you guys. So I bless that in Jesus' name. Father, let it come. Let it come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I bless their hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. And Mama, what's your name? Christina. Lord, we just thank You for Christina. Thank You, Lord, that You are, Christina, coming into a place where of the metamorphosis of God. You're coming into a place where you're going to start to see, you know, you've pushed and pushed and pushed, but now it's time to soar. Now it's time to soar in what God has for you. And yes, I bless that. I bless you. I don't know if you need a healing in here at all or somewhere around here. Does that make sense to you? Maybe somebody else then. But Father, just bless her in Jesus' name. Yeah? Oh, man. Okay, Lord, we declare healing over his life, healing over him. Let it come. There it is. More, Lord. More, Lord. Let it come right now. I speak healing and I speak life over him. In Jesus' name. You know, I want to break a spirit of death off of your son. And, you know, the oppression of death is coming off of him. And so, Father, we just break him free from that in Jesus' name. We speak life over him. And that the Father's blessing is upon him right now. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Amen. Come on. Amen. Bless you guys. All right, so you're starting a youth thing, a youth camp thingy? Or yeah, what's going on with the youth? Young adult, okay. And so are you married at all? No, okay. Okay. Not even a little bit married. How do you get a little bit married? Is that your dad? Okay, that's your dad? Okay. You're her dad? You look like you're 30. Wow. Man, what are you guys drinking? That's awesome. You know, I do want to bless you. I just was saying that not as a prophetic thing about Mary, but I feel like God's want to pair up people with you to see these things accomplished. And you're going to have the right people come alongside of you. And actually, I feel like they're going to have your back. They're going to have your back, and you're going to see their backing. And there's going to be some things that even in this process, the Lord teaches you just how to push past disappointment and help people break out of hope deferred into the desires that they have. You're going to start to see the youth, the young adults, they have this disappointment, and you're going to have the spirit of courage and spirit of hope to prophesy to them. And God's going to give you really accurate words of knowledge with them. He's going to give you the secrets of their heart. You're going to start to see things prophetically even about them. And they're going to speak rumors about you. Man, you got to come to her. She knows things. She knows things about you. She know where you've been. And so I feel like God's about to pour out upon you this gift, this grace, the prophetic grace. And so I bless that in your life. Let it come, Lord. Let the floodgates of heaven open up for these young adults and pour out revival on them in Jesus' name. Come on, let's just celebrate that right now. Here's what I want to do, guys. What's your name? Kirsten? Okay, let's just pray for Kirsten for like 30 seconds, okay? Everybody pray for Kirsten for 30 seconds that this, the young adults and all that she's stepping into, this thing would just open up. The open heavens would come upon her. Father, right now, just let it come. Let it come. Let heavens open up. Let her see those things that she's been prophesying and praying into and believing God for. Prosper. Prosper her. Prosper her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Come on. Yes. 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 Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I've never done this before. I don't want to be too loud. Okay. Earlier, like, I was shaking, and, like, a long time ago, someone talked about how, you know, they just know the Holy Spirit's talking to them, and I talked to her a while ago, and anyway, like, I get an adrenaline rush, and I, like, it feels like I'm about to, like, jump out of a plane. Like, it's crazy, and I know it's the Holy Spirit. And anyway, what I was told was that, you know, when I come into church, sometimes I feel a little, you know, like, guarded, and I'm not fully warmed up into my church. And I love this church, and I praise this church every time I get a chance to talk about it. But God just kept telling me that, you know, remember to warm up in my grace and my communion and just the communication that you have with me, that you are the tabernacle to talk to me, and that, you know, always remember that you can warm up to me, and that there's never going to be that awkward silence or that icebreaker, because, you know, I'm your Father and there's no need to feel that way. And I just wanted to put that on anyone who felt like that was touching on them in any means. And while I was trying to process it, you know, I was like, wow, I feel really close to the ground. Like, I'm comfortable, but I'm on the ground. Because normally if you sit on the ground, especially this one, it's not that comfortable. But it was just this reminder that, you know, you're so close to God, all of you. You're so close to God. And that's why you feel so comfortable, because God is just love and comfort. And I just wanted to share that. So thank you.
That's awesome. Come on. Amazing. Man, that, you know what that's happened? The spirit of prophecies here. People are prophesying. That's so good. That is awesome. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Becky? Kelly? What? Kelly, I keep calling you Becky. Okay, sorry. Kelly, we're best friends. Okay, now we are. Good friendship always starts off with wrong names. Okay? I remember pastoring. This is how bad it was. I was pastoring, you know, 6 years. I kept calling Kathleen Carol and Carol Kathleen. Hi, Carol. She's like, Kathleen. I'm Kathleen. So, Kelly, I feel like some of the things that you've been praying into, I feel like it's in your spirit. It's like in your gut. And God is, he's putting a spirit of intercession on you. But there's been some things that, some intercessors around you, almost like that have fallen off. And God wants to begin to repurpose the intercessory protection and covering over you in your family. I see Psalm 91 protection upon you guys in this time. And I feel like God is about to watch over you guys, both in your sleep and your wake, and there's going to be an abundance in this. But part of this Psalm 91 is a re-tabernacling. It's almost like you guys are going to be moving from one house to a bigger or a house that's expanded. And so I bless this in this season, the expansion that you are having, the expansion in your spirit, because God's about to expand you to the right and to the left. He's about to expand your house. And you're going to see even in your house the Spirit of God fall, the Spirit of God rest, the Spirit of God remain. and you're going to start to see that there's going to be signs, little signs, tokens of God's affection towards you, little things that are going to show up in your path, little things that are going to show up, and it's almost like change. You see change on the sidewalk, or change in the house, or change in pennies and quarters and nickels and all these different things that God's showing you, because change is coming. But it's an expansion. It's an expansion to the right and to the left. And so I bless you in your house that you would experience the abundance of God, and that you would be busting out at the seams with God's goodness, both to the right and to the left. Peace would be upon your house. Goodness would rest upon your house. And I prophesy an upgrade over you, that God would upgrade you in your house. God would upgrade you and expand you in your own house. Father, give it to them in this time. Let a dream house come. And Lord, let them see the thing that they've set their eyes on, the promise that you've prophesied to them. Let them see that. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's just celebrate that. Okay, here's what I'm going to do again. 30 seconds, I want you just to pray. Every good blessing, every good prayer for Kelly and her family. Jay, Lord, we bless them. We bless them. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. Come on, be extravagant, be generous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Come on. Listen, I want to see a show of hands who will pray for these guys every day. You know, one thing I found that there's a blessing on is when I pray for my leaders, those that I have accountability to, those that are in authority in my life, when I pray for them, there's such a blessing that comes upon me. And because you can't, it's something about sowing and reaping. You want to reap from the grace of this house. Sow into it. And one of the ways you could do that is through prayer. So I just want to see a show of hands. Who will do that? Oh, and not just over the next 21 days. I mean, like, you're like, I'm going to be stationed on the wall for these guys to come into their blessing. Come on, that's a good sign. That's Jesus right now moving in your heart. Come on, let's just do that right now. Here's what I want to do. I want you to stand up, and I want to just take 30 seconds just to glorify the name of Jesus in this house. Come on. Jesus, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so good. More, Lord. More, Lord. You're so good, Jesus. We praise you for what you're doing in this city, in this region. We thank you and praise you for what you're doing in Texas. Let blessing come. Let blessing upon blessing come into this house. Let freedom come into this house, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. We just bless your name. We bless your name. Come on, just lift up your voice. Give them a shout of praise right now. Come on, Jesus. You're amazing, Jesus. Woo!